Well, let's go ahead and open up our scripture tonight. And, you know, I had a totally different message I was going to preach, but after this right here, I think the Lord's just leading me a different direction. And so I want to follow God's will, follow God's direction. I pray I preach what God wants me to preach. So let's turn to the book of Mark. The book of Mark, chapter 14, it's going to be something totally different than I was preparing to preach. And I know that God had laid on my heart maybe to preach this. And so I brought this sermon with me tonight, not knowing for sure what the direction God was wanting me to have. I was going to preach to you out of 1 John chapter 2. But tonight, we're going to be in Mark chapter 14. Amen. Mark chapter 14, and then also the Gospel of John. Mark chapter 14 and the Gospel of John. John chapter 12. Mark 14. And John chapter 12, and I want to speak to you a little bit on the alabaster box. I don't know if you've ever read the story or ever heard the story, the alabaster box model. But to me, one of the greatest stories in the Word of God, one of the greatest stories in Scripture, is the alabaster box. Amen. Notice what it says. I think about the testimonies that have been given tonight. I think about how God stirred our hearts and blessed our souls with the wonderful testimony and how God's moved in our service. And I think about this lady right here. Bible says in Mark chapter 14, and verse number 1, Bible says, Mark 14, verse 1, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. And the Bible says in verse 2, but they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? Notice here was a woman that was trying to give God praise. She was trying to give God glory. Matter of fact, she was giving God everything she had. And then, of course, there was some in there that thought themselves better than anybody else. And there was some in there that said, you know, this is just a waste of time. We don't need somebody coming here trying to worship God. Here we are. We're all Christians anyway. Why should she be coming in here trying to worship God in this matter? She's wasting this precious ointment. Somebody could use this ointment. Somebody could sell this ointment, make money off of it. Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and had been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said immediately, let her alone. Amen. Boy, I like that. Yeah. If she wants to worship me, you let her worship me. She might do it different than you do it. She might do it in a different fashion than you do it. But he said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always. In other words, you can go give the poor any day of the week. And whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me, you have not always. You don't have me here on this earth all the days of your life. I'm only going to be on this earth for a short period of time. And if you're going to worship me while I'm here on this earth, you better worship me now. By the way, if you're going to worship God every day, every Sunday, you better worship me while you're in church, amen. Because I've got news for you. There's a lot of folks, they don't worship God outside of church. They don't worship God outside these four walls. And the Bible said in verse number 8, and I want you to mark this phrase, she hath done what she could. Boy, I like that. It may not have been pretty to you. It may not have been very costly to you. You might not have thought it very proper. You might have thought it somewhat indignified. But Jesus said, she hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say to you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. By the way, that's what I'm doing tonight, amen. By me standing up and preaching tonight, I'm again doing what the Bible says in verse 9. I'm speaking about a memorial of that woman because of what she did for the Lord. And nobody else was getting the praise, nobody else getting the glory, but she was getting glory. Take your Bible also and turn over to John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, let me read to you verse 1 down through verse 8. John chapter 12 and verse 1 down through verse 8. Notice here again, we find the story again right here by John. John tells the same story. Bible says in John chapter 12 and verse 1, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. So notice here, we're getting a little bit more information going on right here. We're getting told a little bit more of what's happening. Bible says in verse 3, then took Mary, a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Now we know right here who the hypocrite was that was saying he should take it and spend it on something else. It was Judas Iscariot, amen. It was somebody that never did love the Lord Jesus Christ to begin with. It was somebody that put on a show that claimed to be saved by the grace of God, that wasn't saved by the grace of God. And the Bible says in verse 6, then he said, not that he cared for the poor. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And had the bag, and bear what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying had she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. You know, one of the greatest stories I believe ever recorded in the Bible is found right here in these two texts. As a matter of fact, by reading this text alone, we are honoring tonight. We are fulfilling the words of Christ when he said that this act shall be memorial for Mary of Bethany. Now think about it for a moment. This lady was so marred and moved by the presence of the Lord right here that she anointed the head and the feet of Jesus Christ. Bible says she wiped his feet with the hairs of her head. Now think about it for a moment. The ointment used in this passage, the Bible says it was called spikenard. Spikenard, it was called that because it was always kept in an alabaster box. As a matter of fact, one of these boxes could be worth as much as a whole year's wages. Back in that day and time, you got 300 penny worth of anything going on. You know, you work back in that day and time for a penny a day. And there's 365 days a year, so think about that. You had to work literally a whole year to get 300 penny worth to buy this kind of perfume. This was very expensive perfume. I mean, she had probably saved for years to have this kind of perfume. And so she takes this perfume, something that had taken probably a year, 2 or 3 years to build up and to have that in her household. And she takes all of that perfume, she takes that ointment, and she puts it upon the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, notice right here, she broke it open after having it in her home for that period of time. And notice it symbolized a cost of worship. You see, one thing we learn about Mary right here was the cost of worship was of no value to Mary. Whatever it took to worship our Lord and our Savior, Mary wanted to do that. You know, a lot of times we come to church, and we say, okay, Brother Tim, you just give me something. I'm going to go through the song service. I'm going to sit right here. I'm going to hear the song sung. I'm going to hear the prayers prayed. I'm going to hear the preacher preach his message. And I'm going to get up and I'm going to leave. A lot of times we go through the motions. We play the game. And we don't even think about the cost of worshiping our Savior. Jesus gave his life that we could have this service tonight. Amen. Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood and came forth on that third day that you and I might worship like we're worshiping. And yet we come to church and we don't count any costs. We come to church and we want that air conditioner running. We want the pews padded. We want everything nice and handy for us, amen. We want everything as friendly as it can be. We want to make sure we can do all the things we want to do. And we never think about any costs in our Christian walk. Right. We never think about any costs of what it means, what it goes through to have a service like that. There are people right now around this world that are meeting in caves tonight. There are people, no doubt, around this world right now that are meeting out in fields, up under a tree, worshiping God because they don't have the place to worship like you and I have the place to worship. They have counted the cost of what worship is all about. And in breaking the alabaster box and pouring out and sacrificing the spikenard perfume, it represents the life of a Christian. It represents the life that you and I have as saints of God. And we pour out our service. We pour out our devotion to the Lord. Be honest tonight. How much of your life have you poured out to God this past week? How much of your life have you sacrificed just to try your best to get as close to God as you can? You know, it's sad to say, but the apostles, they were so caught up in the cost. And the apostles were so caught up in the price, Judas Iscariot. Matter of fact, notice here, you know, Peter, James, and John didn't rebuke Judas. Nobody tried to set Judas straight of all the dirty things he was saying. They were all so caught up in the cost of worship and the price of worship, they lost sight of giving everything to God. Here was a lady giving everything she had to the Savior. I mean, she could have sold this perfume
And she could have lived a very wealthy life back in that day and time. I mean, for a lady to have this kind of perfume and this could last her a year, I'm sure her by herself, she could have probably lasted that even longer than that. She could have probably lasted a couple of years just off the cost of that one perfume. But yet she gave everything she had to worship her Savior. I wonder this evening, are you more concerned about the sacrifices you must make to fully serve God? Are you not too worried about what you have to give up in order to fully be devoted to the Lord? You see, tonight, the reason why some people didn't even come to church, I'm not saying everybody, but I'm saying the reason why some people don't come to church is because they have to give something up. They have to give up their time. They have to give up time with their family. They have to give up time with their friends. Or maybe they have to give up something in their life where they have to set a certain amount of time apart from their worldly pleasure and say, Lord, in this time slot, I'm going to worship you. But see, what's sad though is a lot of folks, they won't even give God an hour or maybe 2 hours on Sunday just to worship Him. They won't give God an hour on Wednesday night just to worship Him. Let me ask you this evening, what does it cost you to worship God? Be honest about it. Think about it for a moment. I'm not even talking financial. I'm talking about what does it cost you time-wise? What does it cost you in giving up your pleasures, giving up your wants? Some people won't even leave the TV set to come to the house of God on Sunday night. They think their ball games are more important. Amen. I love football more than anybody else. Amen. I love baseball. I love all the sports. But that doesn't get between me and my Savior. Amen. That doesn't get between me and my God. If anything gets between you and the Lord, that's sin. Amen. That's wrong. That's wicked. And notice right here, tonight I want you to notice three things about this alabaster box. And I want you to ask yourself, what alabaster box in my life must I break to be used of God? What is it in my life that's so important, that's so precious in my life? Is there an alabaster box that maybe I need to surrender? Maybe I need to give up a certain box, a certain treasure in my life before I can fully be used of God in a special way. You see, a lot of times we have an alabaster box that we don't want to give God. In other words, we have something precious to us that we don't want to really turn over to God that can help us be everything we ought to be for God. I think about Abraham and Isaac. You know, when Abraham took his son Isaac up on that Mount Moriah to offer him up, Abraham was taking up his alabaster box. Isaac, you might want to say, was in the alabaster box, amen. And Abraham was giving everything he had to God just to let God know, the Lord, you come first in my life. Is there anything tonight that would hinder your walk with God? Is there a person tonight that could keep you out of church? Are there possessions tonight that can hinder your walk with the Savior? Are there financial blessings that you'd rather have in your life than give it over to the Lord and say, Lord, here it all is for you? You see, sometimes we hold back on God. We'll hold back our time. We'll hold back our talents. We'll hold back our tithe. We'll hold back something in our life because those things are more important to us than worshiping God. And notice right here, this lady, she gave the most precious thing she had. Oh, it was ointment. It was simple perfume. But it was something that was precious to her. I ask you tonight, what must you surrender to be used of God? What must you give up tonight? And you know what it is tonight. You know what it is tonight that's in your life that you count more worth than anything else. Are you willing to give that up? Are you willing to surrender that to worship the Savior? You say, but then what must I surrender to be used of God? Notice number one, notice the reason for breaking it. Go back with me again to Mark chapter 14. In Mark chapter 14, let me read to you verse number 3. In Mark chapter 14 and verse number 3, we find here the reason that this lady broke this box. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he said at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. Now notice two things that happened when she broke the alabaster box. First of all, breaking it shattered. You see, immediately it was useless for anything else.
As long as it was intact, this box could be used for any number of things. But once this box was shattered, it could not be retracted. Once this box was shattered, it could not be made again. There was no super glue in that day and time. There was no way to put it back together piece by piece. You see, folks, our commitment to Christ must be a once and for all expression of our love. Many times what happens is we sit there and we try to make plans for our life. I think about what Miss Nina was saying earlier. We try to make plans for our life, and we say, well, Lord, this is the way my life's going to go, and I'm going to go in this direction. But our plans must be broken before God can ever use us. Amen. Yeah. You see, sometimes we do have our plans made out in our mind. And until we sit there and surrender everything to the Lord, and we sit there and we say, well, Lord, I want to surrender everything to you. I want to shatter my life that I have built up, that I have strengthened, that I have made, and Lord, I surrender it all over to you. That takes a lot of courage. That takes a lot of strength. Because we're saying, Lord, I'm not in control anymore. You're in control. Notice that breaking it shattered. I believe tonight that many saints of God need to break their alabaster box. Yeah. Many saints of God need to shatter some things in life where they can't keep holding on to that and using that as an excuse not to live for God. They can't keep holding on to that and using that as an excuse not for being in church. You say, Brother Tim, I'd be in church, but this is going on. Well, if that's what's keeping you out of church, you need to break that alabaster box. I'd be faithful in soul winning, or I'd be faithful in maybe giving my tithes or offerings, but all these other things are happening in my life, and I can't give up these other things. Well, if we don't start breaking our box, if we don't start shattering these things over here and putting God first, it may be that God shatters those things. It may be that God goes ahead and God shatters our little box, and maybe God shatters our little life because God wants us to give it. God wants us to surrender it. But there comes a time when God says, if you don't surrender it, I will do what I have to do to have you to follow me.
Yeah.
Notice breaking it shattered it. But also notice that breaking it shared it. Go back there again to John chapter 12. Notice what it says again in John chapter 12. Notice verse 3. John chapter 12 and verse 3. Bible says, then took Mary a pound of ointment, a spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Boy, I like that. Notice that when Mary opened up the box, and when the box was broken, the Bible says the odor of the perfume filled the house. You know, folks, our lives kept to ourselves, our lives have no value. But when our lives are poured out, when our lives are shattered, as Brother Jason said, his life's been shattered over the past few years. God got a hold of him and turned his life around and broken all the things going on in his life. And when God got a hold of him and shattered his old past life, and Jason poured out his heart to God, that's when that perfume of Jason's life began to be shared with other people. And that's when God began to use his life to bless others around about you.
Amen.
You see, there are things in your life that can be a blessing to others. There were things in Mary's life right here that can be a blessing to others, but she had to break that alabaster box. She had to break something that was very important in her life. And there's going to be times in your life that you can help the church. And there can be times in your life when you can bless other Christians. And there can be times in your life when you can see souls be saved by the grace of God. But the only way that's going to happen is we need some saints of God that have shattered some things. We need some saints of God that have given their life and say, Lord, I want you to take the best out of me and use it for you. Notice that Mary was willing to give her best. She was willing to give her greatest thing she had that others might be blessed. You know, saved perfume, it doesn't accomplish its purpose. Only poured out lives have eternal value. If you've got perfume in your house, ladies, or even men, if you've got some cologne or perfume in your house, and if you just keep that cologne or perfume in that bottle all the time and don't wear that, nobody else can enjoy that perfume. Nobody else can enjoy the sweet odor, what that smells like. But when you put it on your body and you share that with others around about you, then we all enjoy what you enjoy.
You see, a lot of times we don't want to open up our lives for God. And we don't want to shatter our lives and get ourselves out of the way that God might then rebuild us and make us the person God wants us to be. Amen. And that's one thing I have to admire about this lady. Are you willing to share your life tonight to see souls saved? Maybe tonight the only way that Gospel Light Baptist Church can see more souls saved by the grace of God is maybe God's waiting for us to shed our alabaster box. Maybe God's waiting for you to surrender everything you've got. And when you start breaking your life up, when you start saying, Lord, it's not about me anymore, it's all about you, maybe then that's when God starts really blessing our church like He wants to bless us more. Maybe that's when God starts adding to our church daily such as should be saved. Amen. Maybe that's what it takes for God to build the work that God wants to build right here in this community. It's taken us breaking that box and saying, Lord, it's not me. It's all about you. I found the reason for breaking it very quickly. Notice the reaction to breaking it. Notice here in Mark chapter 14, verse 4 and 5. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, now by the way, notice it's not just one person. It's not just Judas Iscariot. We see Judas identified in John 12. But notice here, it's saying there's a multitude of them. There's many of them. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? And it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Now without fail, you can mark her down, somebody always going to ridicule your service for God.
Yeah.
When you start trying to live for God, and you start trying to give yourself the Lord Jesus Christ, somebody's going to make fun of you.
Right.
Somebody's going to laugh at you. Now, what's sad about this was not the lost world laughing at Mary. This was saints of God.
Right.
This was Christians. And notice that it was righteous people that objected, not lost people. Notice the kind of reaction. Notice their reaction of bitterness. Matter of fact, go back there to John chapter 12 again. In John chapter 12, notice there in verse 4 and 5. The Bible says, then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Now he was trying to sound so righteous. He was trying to sound so holy. And even though Judas had served Christ for years at this point, he never learned the joy there is in wasting something of value on Jesus because you love Him. You know, I want to give everything I've got to Jesus simply because I love my Lord. Now, the world might think it's wasting something. The world would say, well, Brother Tim, you're just wasting your talents on God, or you're just wasting your time on God. You know, that's what the world says, but that's not what Jesus says, amen. Are you guilty tonight of having such an attitude? You know, people say, well, why give the mission? That's such a waste. When you see souls saved and lives changed, that's what it's all about.
Amen.
You know, when I get to heaven, I might not see where all my mission money goes right now, but when I get to heaven, God's going to have all that lined up for me. Amen. And I believe God's going to give me gold and silver and precious stone. I believe there's going to be crowns waiting for me in heaven because I gave it. Somebody might come to know Christ as personal Savior. We might not see souls walk down this aisle here every Sunday, but by you giving the mission, by you going and giving that extra missionary dollar and trying to get that missionary to the field and seeing souls saved, we might not have them walk the service right here, but if they're getting saved on the mission field and they're part of the ministry of Gospel Light Baptist Church, that means Gospel Light Baptist Church is seeing souls saved. That means that around the clock, we're seeing souls saved by the grace of God by our mission giving. So, preacher, I can't go out and be a witness. I can't go out and be a soul winner. By you giving the missions, you can be a witness, amen.
Yes,
by you giving the missions, you can see souls saved, even though you didn't do it personally, but you have somebody go on your behalf. Missionaries go on our behalf to win souls to Christ around the world. By the way, that's what the Bible tells us in Mark 16. We're to go and preach the gospel to every creature, amen. We're to go around the world and preach the gospel. While we send missionaries around the world, we're seeing souls actually walk the aisle every Sunday. Even though I might not see them personally, when I hear those missionaries talking about souls saved, that means Gospel Light Baptist Church. That means you are part of souls being saved by the grace of God. Amen. Notice right here, there's a lot of people that have a reaction of bitterness. But also notice there's a reaction of betrayal. Take your Bible real quick. Turn back to the Gospel of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew chapter 26. Let me read to you verse 14 down through verse 16. Matthew chapter 26, verse 14, down through verse 16. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest and said unto him, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. Notice Judas
was all about getting something from others. He wasn't about giving himself to God. He wasn't about giving anything, surrendering his life to God. He was wanting to get something from other people for God. And the Bible says in verse 16, from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. From that time on, Judas sought to betray Jesus Christ. Folks, if our hearts get no pleasure from giving lavishly to the Lord, I believe we should search our heart for the reason, because we too may be on the verge of betraying the Lord.
Yeah.
If you don't have any blessings in your heart, if you don't have any joy in your life, when you give unto God, whether it be financially, or whether it be time-wise, or whether it be in your talents, if it doesn't bless your heart to give in some fashion to Jesus Christ, you better check up on your salvation.
Amen.
Because if you're truly saved by the grace of God, it will stir your heart. It will stir your soul. But then notice finally, not only the reaction to breaking it, and the reason to breaking it, but notice the results of breaking the alabaster box. Notice the results was twofold. First of all, it resulted in a lesson on spiritual pleasures. You know, spiritual pleasures come from giving. Worldly pleasures come from getting. And by giving your valuable gift, and by this lady right here giving her valuable gift, she brought herself pleasure. She brought pleasure to the Lord. You said, but Tim, what do you mean by that? Turn real quick. Turn back to 2 Samuel. I want to give you a verse here, and I want you to mark this. I want you to really mark this in the Bible. 2 Samuel chapter 24. 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 24. What a great, great verse we find right here. I really want you to mark this verse in the Bible tonight. You might have it already marked, but if not, do so this evening. 2 Samuel, 1 2 Samuel, 1 2 Kings, 1 2 Chronicles. 2 Samuel chapter 24, the very last chapter of this book, and verse 24, almost the last verse of this book. 2 Samuel 24 and verse 24. Bible says, and the king said unto Arnold, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither, notice what David says right here, neither will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David brought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. I want you to mark that phrase. David says, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. You see, David did not want to offer God sacrifices that cost him nothing. David knew that if he's going to really sacrifice to God, it had to be a sacrifice. Sometimes we come to church, and maybe you came to church tonight, or maybe you came to church today, and it's never dawned upon you that when you come to church, you should come to church to sacrifice in some form. You should come to worship and sacrifice in some way. But let's be honest. Have we sacrificed today? Has our worship cost us anything? Has our worship interfered with anything in life? You know, there are people right now over in China, over in North Korea, they're sacrificing possibly their life by worshiping the Lord tonight. There are people right now over in Iraq, in the Middle East, that their life is on the line. They could possibly lose their head because they worship the Savior. And yet we come to church on a Sunday for maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours on a Sunday night altogether for that day. We might even come to church maybe on Wednesday night if we feel like going to church. And in our little mind, we think that's a sacrifice to God. And many times we disgrace our Savior because we think we're having a hard day. And we think we're having a hard time just giving a little bit of our time, maybe a little bit of our money to our Savior. Again, be honest with yourself. What does it cost you to worship the Lord? Christians today want to worship and serve God without any cost. They want to worship and serve God without any sacrifice. It resulted in a lesson on spiritual pleasure, but also resulted in a lesson on spiritual priorities. Notice there again, back over in Mark chapter 14 and verse 5, for it might have been sold for more than 300 pence. And had been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. You see, some said it was more important to feed the poor than to worship Christ. Why was that? Because the priorities were out of line spiritually. Even today, we have more people concerned about the poor than they do about the Lord. You hear me this evening? We have more people concerned about the poor than we do about the Lord. We put more emphasis on the physical body than we do on the spiritual body. I mean, we need to take care of the physical body, yes, indeed, but we need to take care of the spiritual body as much, amen.
Yeah.
Bible says, what profit shall a man gain if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Oh, you can have the best body in the world, and we should try to have the best body we can have, but I want to make sure my spiritual body is just as strong.
Yeah.
I want to make sure I have the testimony before God that I should have before God. I wonder this evening, what are we sacrificing? What is it really costing you to worship the Lord? Let's bow in prayer. With every head bowed and every eye closed. No one moving around. You be honest tonight. Are you right now, are you willing to break your alabaster box? Are you willing to break tonight that thing that's most precious in your life to be used to God? Are you willing to maybe surrender your children? You say, preacher, my children is the most precious thing in my life. Can God have your children? Can God use your children? You say, preacher, I don't know. I want my children with me all the time. Are you willing to sacrifice your family, your friends, your loved ones, that God may be glorified? Or is the cost too much for you? Is the price too high for you to pay? I don't know what your alabaster box is. I don't know what the most precious thing, the most dearest thing in your life is. It may be your job. It may be your family. It may be your friends. It may be your money. I don't know what your most precious thing is in your life. But are you willing to break it tonight upon this altar and give it to the Lord? Say, Lord, I don't want anything to hinder my walk with you. I don't want anything to hinder my relationship with you. Make sure tonight that your pleasures, your priorities are in the right place. Make sure there's nothing that will keep you from serving God in His church. If there's anything on your mind right now that you know hinders you, you know it troubles you from really being faithful to church, being faithful to God, being faithful in your giving in every area, in every aspect, come down around this altar tonight and say, Lord, here it is. Here's my alabaster box. I pour it out, and I want to give you that sweet smell. Lord, it's yours. Take me and use me for your glory. Father, thank you, Lord, for this sweet service. Father, I thank you for the wonderful testimonies we've heard tonight. Lord, how you've blessed me, how you've encouraged my heart, how you've strengthened me just by hearing the sweet-smelling odor from these dear saints of God. Lord, they shared their testimony. They poured out their hearts, Lord. Father, I pray we'll come down around this altar this evening. And Lord, we'll give you our most precious things in our life. We'll pour out our box to you. Lord, we'll give you our life and say, Lord, here it is. Use me. Help me to worship you. Help me to glorify you in a great and mighty way. I pray, Lord, don't let anything hinder our walk. Help us, Lord, not let anything hinder our relationship with you. Bless this church. Bless these dear saints of God. In Christ's name I pray. As we stand to our feet, the music continues. As you stand up, slip on out. Come down with me around this altar. Let's pray. Let's pour out our alabaster box and say, Lord, here it is. Lord, I sacrifice everything I've got. Lord, it's not mine. Lord, it's yours.